إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again I welcome all of you dear brothers here in this class at Masjid Tawheed. As every Saturday after Fajr, on Saturdays after Fajr we continue reading the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. The explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. The explanation by our beloved Shaykh Dr. Saleh al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, from his book al-Mulakhas, the concise and summarized explanation on Kitab al-Tawheed. We're going to continue, inshallah ta'ala, reading the explanation in the chapter number 15. So we started chapter number 15. And in that chapter, Shaykh al-Islam, al-Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned the ayat 191 and 192, Surah Al-A'raf, and the ayat in Surah Fatir, ayat 13 and 14. And we already read to you the explanation of this ayat. And this chapter talks about that the created one could not be an object of worship. The creatures cannot be worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a refutation against those who take objects of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because throughout the time, people worship the moon, others worship the sun, people worship the wind, others worship the trees and the stones, animals, angels, human beings. These are creatures. Allah created the human being, the angels, the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the trees, the stones, the human being and the like. And in the explanation of the two verses, or the two of those ayahs, those two texts that the Shaykh mentioned as a proof, the Shaykh highlights the fact that not only that this chapter once again make it clear to us that shirk is forbidden and is not permissible for anyone to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, but also now there are people who a form of shirk is not always people prostrate into an idol. Shirk takes many forms. It's not always a person go to a tree or idol and prostrate. Now there is people who call upon others, and that's what is was highlighted in here. People they call upon objects and they seek refuge with them. And we learned, this is of course a summary, we learned that the Shaykh, he says, as Allah tells us in Surah Fatir, وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِتْمِيرٍ. And those who you invoke or call upon instead of Allah, they do not own even a qitmir. They have nothing, they don't own anything from this universe. And a qitmir, as we explained it, the ulama they explained, is a thin membrane over the date stone. When you open the date, and it's not pitted, the stone's still there. There is a thin membrane, white one, on the stone, not the stone itself, just that nobody owned that. Those who they call upon them to bring them, oh, give me, oh, so-and-so, give me, oh, so-and-so, assist me, increase me in wealth, increase me in health, give me children. How are they going to give them? They don't own anything. They can't even give him that thin membrane. They don't have it. How could they give them lives, provisions, health, give them children, and the like? And then the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafizah Allah, mentioned that those who are to be called upon, they have some conditions. They have to be able to hear, have to be able to respond, and to assist. Otherwise, how are you going to call upon somebody? And even in Thalathatu Usul, you know how these classes, they go along. Also, in the Thalathatu Usul, the three fundamental principles, when we learn about the dua, that there is certain conditions. You don't just call anybody for help. Yes, we're human. There are certain things we do ourselves. But there is other things that we cannot do by ourselves. We need help. But now you're trying to lift something heavy. Well, who you turn to? Someone, a baby 3 months old, give me a hand. You make a fool of yourself. They have to have the ability. And also, can somebody call him a strong guy? But he's not here, he's in South Carolina. Person in Georgia, and talking to somebody, give me a hand. The person is in South Carolina. Can't give him no hand. You think that man's hands long can reach away from South Carolina to Georgia? No. So that person, what we learn, has to be present and has to be able to do that. And we should only call upon Allah for things that are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want increase for provision, you want health, you want children, you want safety, you want your sins to be forgiven, you want firmness upon the deen, this is only for Allah. But there are people that do this thing, they make these calls, but then instead to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they go to a grave, a dead grave, somebody dead in the grave, and they make the same dua that they're supposed to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. Now, oh so-and-so who's dead, that person may be righteous, may not be. That person who they call upon may be very righteous when he was alive. Maybe that person was very righteous. But still doesn't give them no right to worship him or to call upon him or invoke that person besides Allah. You find people who they pray Maghrib, Dhuhr, Asr, they say La ilaha illallah, they fast Ramadan, maybe they made Hajj, and then they go right there, maybe after that Salat, to that grave and say, oh so-and-so, help me out. Oh so-and-so, I'm going through some hardship, please help me, relieve my distress, assist me. Oh so-and-so, give me boys. I was given only girls. But who give girls and who give boys? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He give boys and girls to whom he will. He give only girls to whom he will. Only boys to whom he will. Some people don't have no boys and no girls. Those ayats, I'm going to just read them to you in brief. قال الله تعالى أيشركون ما لا يخلق شيئا وهم يخلقون ولا يستطيعون لهم نصرا ولا أنفسهم ينصرون. Do they attribute as partners to Allah those who created nothing, but they themselves are created? No help can they give them, nor can they help themselves. The other ayat in Surah Al-A'raf, والذين تدعون من دونه ما يملكون من قطمير إن تدعوهم لا يسمعوا دعاءكم ولو سمعوا استجابوا لكم ويوم القيامة يكفرون بشرككم ولا ينبئك مثل خبير. Ayat 13 and 14 of Surah Fatir. And those whom you invoke or call upon instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, own not even a qatmir. They don't own even a qatmir, the thin membrane over the date stone. If you invoke or call upon them, they don't hear your call. They don't. Allah says, and if in case they were to hear your call, they could not grant it, meaning that request. They could not grant it to you. And on the day of resurrection, they will disown your worship in them. And none can inform you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like him who is the own knower of each and everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we continue, inshallah ta'ala, as the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahu ta'ala, after this ayat, he brought some ahadith, hadith of Anas, hadith ibn Umar, and hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhum. قالوا في الصحيح يعني في البخاري ومسلم وفي الصحيح عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال شج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم أحد وكسرت رباعيته فقال كيف يفلح قوم شجوا نبيهم فنزلت ليس لك من الأمر شيء في سورة آل عمران. It is reported in the Sahih, and here is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. From Anas radiallahu anhu narrated, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hit on the day of Uhud in his head. And also his teeth were broken. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can a people succeed who hit their Prophet? How can they succeed? And then this verse in Surah Ali Imran was revealed. Verse 128 in Surah Ali Imran. It is not for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but for Allah only the decision. And because there are people who fought in Uhud, and they were mushrikeen, they fought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, but after that Allah guided them to Islam. And they were successful, alhamdulillah. Here in this hadith, our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidahu Allah Ta'ala, is saying, في المعنى الإجمالي, يخبر أنس رضي الله عنه عما حصل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في وقعة أحد من الابتلاء والامتحان على أيدي أعدائه من الإصابة في موضعين من جسده الشريف فكأنه لحقه يأس من فلاح كفار قريش فقيل له بسبب ذلك ليس لك من الأمر شيء أي عواقب الأمور وحكم العباد بيد الله فامضي أنت لشأنك ودم على دعوتك. In the general meaning, the Shaykh has summarized for us the meaning of this hadith, hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. He says in this, Anas informing us radiallahu anhu about what has happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud. Ibtila, Prophet ﷺ endured hardship on that battle. Don't you think the Prophet ﷺ was sitting somewhere giving commands, miles away or away from the battle itself? Prophet ﷺ participated in it, took a part in it. And the Prophet ﷺ endured hardship in it. He was put to test and trial, the Prophet ﷺ. So much so that his enemies, Kuffar Quraysh, the mushrikeen of Quraysh at that time, they got to the Prophet ﷺ and they struck him twice in his noble body sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Struck him in his head, they broke his teeth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, being the case as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, gave up hopes, as he gave up hopes of these people. How could they succeed, these people who do this to the Prophet who's bringing them rahmah? The Prophet is calling them to their good in this life and the hereafter. A Prophet who didn't ask them for their wealth or their properties. Prophet who didn't want position. A prophet didn't want to be a ruler over them or a king. A prophet who called them only for that which is good for them in this life and in the hereafter. A prophet who called them to worship their Lord who created him, or created them, and created all that exists. So the Shaykh, he says, as though at that moment the Prophet ﷺ thought that these people will not be successful after what they've done because of their action. So it was said to him through the revelation. Allah revealed this ayah 121-128. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. Allahu Akbar. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. It is not for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to decide who's going to be successful or not. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not for you to decide just based on what happened to you, just based on what took place in the Battle of Uhud. It's not up to you to decide. And look, subhanAllah, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people, subhanAllah, who took a part in Uhud and other than Uhud, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided to Islam. From them is Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiallahu anhu. From them is Abu Sufyan, Ikrima, many others. Amr ibn al-As, many others. And Allah guided them to Islam. And now we say, radiallahu anhum. We don't abuse them. Now we don't say anything else, but we say, radiallahu anhum. Even though what they've done, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their repentance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to Islam. And they became, yes, for one moment they used to be the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan explained this ayah. He says, meaning that the consequences of whatever happened and the hukum, judging the servants, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is for Allah. Rather you, mean, O Prophet, do what you were sent for. Call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue to give the da'wah, to call to Allah. As for who's going to be successful or not, that's not for you. Who's going to accept Islam or not, it's not up to you. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn a great lesson from this too. It doesn't matter what a person said to you in your family, for example. You say you have family members that are not Muslims. They mushrik or they atheist or whatever the case is. You continue to give them da'wah. As long as they're still alive in this dunya, don't you ever make a statement like, man, they done. Don't you ever. You know you're not even done yourself. You're talking like you've been to the Jannah and you just came back to check people? La. You continue to give da'wah. We learn a great lesson. It's a great benefit. Yes, we have family members that are not upon Islam. May Allah guide them to Islam, I mean. And keep us firm upon it. Because we have to apply Islam in ourselves. And then call others to that which we practice. Because if a person calling people to something but he doesn't practice it himself, that's a contradiction. And some that's what happens sometimes. A person is not practicing Islam. He's just Muslim by, I don't know, by look. He look Muslim, he has a Muslim name, but then that person still do terrible things in his life. Terrible things. Steal, cheat, on drugs, backbite, fight, has temper, no patience, no akhlaq of the Islam, because that person is not practicing Islam, not applying it. Now he want to get him, no, Islam is good for you. And they look, what do you mean good for us? Why is not good for you? Why is not working for you? But when you practice Islam in your life, in your house, in every moment of your life, in a masjid, at work, while you're driving, while you're shopping, in times of ease, times of difficulty, with those who say good things about you and those who say bad things about you. Okay? With those who help you and those who cannot help. With the rich, with the poor, with the Arabs, with the non-Arabs, with the black, with the white, with men, with women, with elderly, with the youth. You're practicing Islam because you're supposed to practice it, regardless where you are, in any given time or any given place, Inshallah, people may look at like, listen, he's calling us to something that is still actually is working for him. Especially if you were a troublemaker before Islam. And he used to be in a lot of trouble. And subhanAllah, since Islam, not since you took shahada, since you began serious about practicing Islam, and your life changed, as they say, 360 degrees. 380 or 360, what they say? 360, alright. Alright? So people, they're watching you. Now you have a family. Alhamdulillah, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your children, the way even you treat them, even though they come at you with all that nonsense and foolishness, huh? But you reply with mild words, as Allah tells us. Allah tells us. And those from the characteristics of the muhsineen, the muttaqeen, those whom Allah love, that when foolish people address them with bad words, they reply with what? With mild words of gentleness. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Those when the foolish, those who don't know, they address them in a bad way, they reply with mild words of gentleness. Why? Because they display the akhlaq of Islam. So that's all we have to do. Don't you ever let the shaitan find a way to you. Oh, you've been talking to your grandmother for 5 years. May I say, she ain't going to take it. Says who? No, she may. You don't know. As long as she's still alive and you're alive, continue to give da'wah. And don't even give up on her or anyone. Because guidance, which is, because there is two types of guidance. The ulama, they mentioned from the Sheikh Salih Fawzan himself, and also Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahumullah, in the explanation of al-wasitiyya of Sheikh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahumullah. He says, al-hidayah nawa'an. Guidance is two types. And it's very important for us to know. It helps us to understand. Hidayah to dilalati wal bayan. The first guidance is the guidance of showing the people the way, the right way. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ سِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. For indeed, you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you guide to the right path. You guide. In another ayah, Allah tells him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ. You do not guide whom you will. So one ayah you guide, the other ayah you don't guide. SubhanAllah. There's no contradictions in the Qur'an. The ulama, they said the contradictions come from poor understanding. When a person don't have understanding, they like, oh, contradiction? Ain't no contradiction. So, the second ayah, it deals with, it is not up to you, their guidance, meaning it's not up to you to make them successful. Yes, you call, show them the clear path, what they need to do, and what they should stay away from. But for who's going to act upon that or not, that's not up to you. That's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, somebody go and talk to somebody about Islam, he didn't finish 10 minutes, the person say, I'm ready. What should I do to be Muslim? Say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Even the person become, he's surprised. Are you sure you're ready? Give the man the shahada, akhi. He said he's ready. No, because he's surprised, because he look at the time. I just talked to you, akhi. Another Muslim with him. Should we give him shahada? He wants it. But we were just talking to him for 10 minutes, huh? Doesn't matter. Allah wants it for him. Give that man shahada and give him some books about Islam. Invite him to your masjid, to the classes. Check on him. Keep up with that person until he learns. And then there are people you think that's it. They're going to have it. Every time you talk to them for hours and just the conversation, the way it's going, it's like, you ready for shahada? And they tell you, oh, not now. Are you going to get mad? No, don't get mad. You want them to take shahada for you? So that you can say, oh, I gave 75 shahada, alhamdulillah. No. You're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't count how many people you give shahada to. Just do it the right way. And alhamdulillah, after you talk to them nicely on this and invite them to Islam, if they say, yes, I want to be a Muslim, alhamdulillah. If that they say, no, I need some time, inshallah, inshallah. So say, okay, it's okay with me. It's not up to me, your guidance. That's only for your Creator, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Me, I'm doing what I can, and I hope I'm being of a benefit for you. That's it. Now, some people, they like, they call him again. Listen, I want to, can we sit, can we get together? I want to have some question about Islam. I have no time for you, man. I've been like wasting my time with you. Say, oh, Dubillah, you're wasting your time? No, you're not wasting your time. Whenever that person calls and say, listen, I have, oh yeah, please, make arrangement and sit with him. Don't tell him, man, you're not serious about this religion, man. What do you mean he's not serious about this religion? The guidance of success is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Munasabatul hadithi lilbab. أن فيه دليلا على بطلان الشرك بالأولياء والصالحين لأنه إذا كان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يدفع عن نفسه الضر وليس له من الأمر شيء فغيره من باب أولى. The reason why Sheikh al-Islam al-Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى chose this hadith as one of the proofs in this chapter, because it contains a dalil a dalil and a proof against those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the way of the awliya, the righteous people, the righteous servants of Allah. How we understand this and how we connect this to the hadith, he says, since the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't repel harm from himself, and also because he got hit and struck in the battle of Uhud, and also he has no decision whatsoever as related to who's going to be successful or not, so other than him, subhanAllah, you can only know. If this the Prophet ﷺ can't repel harm from himself, so how could it, and he is the best of mankind, and he is alive, so how can the people go to a dead person, way less in degrees than the Prophet ﷺ, and ask them to repel harm away, ask them for protection and the like. And this is how we talk to people, ya Ikhwan. You don't just go to a person and scold them. What are you doing here? You're upon shirk. You want to die upon this. A'udhu billah. Astaghfirullah. Rabbi, his hikmah. Explain to the people. Some people, that's all they know. Some people, that's all they know. They never know Tawheed. They grow up in some areas in Africa and Asia and whatever the case may be. That's all they know. They grow up seeing their parents going to that person, oh, help me. And they take food in there, they take gifts, and those gifts are, and they drop money, which is that money collected, because when they come back next time, that money is gone. You know what I'm saying? Jewelry is gone. Gifts are gone. Who take those gifts? You think that that person stretch his hand and take him? Now there are people over there, they make that as a business, wa'ayyadu billah. What an awful business is. Now there are people that make that business. They build something on this, whatever, and they start calling the people, listen, the ignorant people who don't know the Tawheed. You're going through hardship? Come call this man. This is a righteous man. He put a word for you. And then that those people, they are right there. Actually, in some places, they have different colors. They have this person who's like covered with 4 or 5 sheets. And you have, and that person who's going there has to be under one of these sheet colors. They have white, green, red, yellow, black, whatever the case. So everyone has a price. The closest one to the grave is the highest price. How, what you here for? No children. Yeah, you gotta take the yellow one. Okay, wait a minute, yellow is $300. I have only 50. 50, you gotta stay outside. Not even make it inside the room. Well, yeah, they will have business. You know? And look, ignorance, ya akhwan. Ignorance is a fatal disease. والجهل داء قاتل. And people fall into that. They're gonna go and borrow money, whatever, to get close to that shirk, even closer to it. But when they learn the tawheed, and those amongst us, alhamdulillah, Allah save us from shirk, and we learn the tawheed so that we can help and aid those who don't know. Some people, they just grow up on that. They seen their parents doing it, and they continue to do it. That cycle has to be broken, man. But through knowledge, not through force. You can't just go and snatch something out of the hands of somebody. Now you got to give them a reason. Explain to them. Even a baby. You just go snatch that candy because you know that candy is bad for them. They're so attached. Kids are so attached to candy. No, you don't just go and get it and throw it in the trash and they cry and this. Nah. And now you wonder later on they have another piece of candy in their hand. No, you're going to like sit down and say, son, this is not good for you. Why? It's not because it tastes bad. It's not because nobody eat it. No, other people eat it. But you, this is not good for you. Why? Because look, it's bad for your teeth. The dentist said you can't. And this and this. And you explain to them. And now your son, mashallah, he may have some understanding. Says, okay. They want it still, but they're like, man, now they, you see, the purpose here is they see that you are telling them something now, so they understand. Oh, my teacher said, see, if you continue to eat these candies, we're going to keep going. More trips to the dentist, put a needle on you. Pain, you remember last time? But now if you give up these things and listen, eat fruits, brush your teeth, okay? Inshallah, you're not going to have a pain. And you're not going to go to the doctor. And then your kid, 3 years old, 4 years old, will understand, inshallah. So we use this, ya akhwan, with our, if there is anybody in our families, and we have to start with the first one, as we have the hadith later on. But you got to start with the closest people to you. Check your family members first. Of course, yourself first. Then start with the closest people to you, man. Like we were talking about this, mashallah, we use this, we apply it. So we show concern. Whenever we see people upon shirk, we have to show concern for them. And we should say to ourselves, what can I do to help this person get out of shirk? Because that's the only sin that Allah does not forgive if somebody die upon. What can I do? What should I do? And you'll be rewarded just by having that good intention. By having that concern, you pass it by people you know and you don't know. Especially the people you know. Your grandparents, your parents sometimes, your brothers, some people. He's the only one Muslim in the whole family, man. He's the only one Muslim. So what does it mean? He has a lot of work. A lot of work to do. You can't go to sleep like that, laughing, happy. How can you do so? Knowing that your family, if any one of them die upon shirk, you know where they're going to go. Now whenever you're going to have show some concern, turn to Allah with repentance and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to talk to your family members. And the like. ما يستفاد من الحديث? What is some of the benefits from this hadith? Number one, بطلان الشرك بالأولياء والصالحين. Associating partners with Allah سبحانه وتعالى is void, nullified, is forbidden. Even if those people may be righteous people. You see sometimes people are like, no, these are righteous people. You know, even if they are made the righteous of the people. لأنه إذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يملك من الأمر شيئا فغيره من باب أولى. Calling upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is not permissible. It's shirk. Those who say, "Oh Messenger, give me. Oh Messenger of Allah, help me, assist me, give me." That's shirk. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So what about? And therefore it is forbidden. So what about those who call upon individuals that are way less than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? So shirk is void. There is no good shirk and bad shirk. There is no tafsir like, oh, there is a shirk. Actually, if somebody call upon a righteous person, that's a good thing. If he call upon an evil person, yeah, that's a bad thing. Shirk is shirk. Dua is lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You call upon Allah. You invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you explain this to certain people, you bring them the ayahs and the ahadith. And that's why the Shaykh brought these ayahs and ahadith for this purpose. Because you want to connect the people to the proofs. You don't want to connect the people to what you're saying. And that's the mistake that certain people do, maybe intentionally or unintentionally. Allahu A'lam. Some people may have a good intention. They're not doing it intentionally. And just the way they give da'wah, the way they teach, the way they talk, they connecting people to themselves instead to connect the people to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. Because those people, they continue to say, "I'm telling you, Akhi, this is man, you got to be with me, man, on this. Okay? You know me, you trust me, brother, I want good for you." And then people are rallying around him instead to be rallying around the Adilla. A good da'i, he has to always be mindful of this reality that the ulama, they mention all the time, that you have to connect the people to the book of their Lord and the sunnah of their messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this way, they're not attached to you. "Oh man, you gotta go to that place. Then we're gonna show some support to that brother. If as long as that brother imam stays with us, we're straight." Says who? As long as you hold on firm to the book of Allah and the sunnah, you're straight, inshallah. Talking about as long as we have that brother in the community, we're okay. Where did this come from, ya akhwan? No, it's not the case. It's not as long as that brother is amongst us, we're okay. There are people who the Prophet was amongst them and they were not okay. They die upon shirk and kufr. It's not about as long as we have this brother, we're okay. No, as long as we and that brother put upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ with the understanding of As-Salaf As-Saleh, inshallah, if Allah willing, we'll be okay, inshallah ta'ala. Number two, wuqu'u al-asqami wal-ibtila' bil-anbiya' alayhim salatu wassalam. Another benefit the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan brought from this hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that prophets and messengers, alayhim salatu wassalam, they get sick. Naam, they get sick. So when you get sick, don't you think that you're the only one getting sick? Sometimes we act like I'm the only one getting sick. Everybody's straight, it's just happening to me. La ya akhwan. A lot of people are sick, and even worse than you. And if you remember that, you're like, subhanAllah, why I'm complaining? Look at the other brother, he's still smiling, man. This is a toothache. And you know, it's not the first time you got toothache. You know that he's going to go in 2 hours, or in a day or two. Somebody has a permanent illness, ikhwan. And they're happy, they smile. And you're like, mashallah, I'm going to be like him. And now the prophets and the messengers, the most beloved to the people, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get sick too. They get sick. And they put to trial and test. Not everything was smooth. No prophet ever, messenger, his da'wah was smooth. The ride was so smooth. Nah, yeah. So you're going to hold on to the deen of Allah, you want to practice Quran and Sunnah upon the way of the Salaf, Alhamdulillah, it's good for you. You're going to have some good days. Alhamdulillah. But then people are going to start talking about you. People are going to start just saying things about you. And you're like, subhanAllah, you know it's a lie. So what are you going to do? Stop what you're doing to just go and deal with them? No, you continue doing what you're doing. As Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah defend those who believe. If Allah is defending you, someone, just continue to do what you're doing. But yes, in a right way, nice way, you talk to those people. Tell them what you're saying is wrong. It's not right, Ikhwan. Verify. You could call me and ask me about it and this, but this is not good for you. Alhamdulillah. And keep doing what you're doing. But we learn from here that, yes, you're going to get sick. You're going to put to trial. You're going to witness decrease in health, in wealth, in provision, in lives. Because the best of humanity, they went through this. The prophets and the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And we be patient as they were patient. And we thank Allah and we praise Allah for whatever Allah chose for us. Number three, wujubu ikhlas al-ibadah lillah. لأنه هو الذي له الأمر وحده. Likewise, a third benefit, the obligation, it is obligatory to have the religion sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhlas. Can worship Allah and worship something else with Allah. Devote some acts of worship for Allah, but others for other than Allah. La. The whole religion should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of our actions of worship should be done sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He alone deserves to be worshipped. He alone has the dominions over all things. He alone creates. He alone provides. He is the only one that deserves and worthy of being worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the true God. Number four, مشروعية الصبر وتحمل الأذى والضرر في سبيل الدعوة إلى الله. Likewise, also from this hadith, we learn to be patient and to endure with patience the harm and the hardship that we may encounter while giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what get him into this? Was he fighting for gold or fighting for money or fighting for position? No, da'wah to Allah. Not everybody you're going to talk to them, and this is the case for every prophet and a messenger, alayhim salatu wasalam. You think the prophets, whenever they go to someone and call them, they're like, oh, mashallah, hayyakum Allah, tafaddal, what do you want us to do? Pray with you? Allahu Akbar. Let's go, let's do it. No, there are people like that, Allah wants it for them. They accept it just like that. But there are many people that are not. Some people, they say, we're not following you. And they don't do anything. No harm. Other people, they fight. They rage war. See? So the same thing we learn, Ikhwan. Patience. Because now when you're calling the people to da'wah salafiyyah, for example, they say, Allah guide you to salafiyyah. And you're trying to call some people who are still upon bid'ah, innovations, upon dalal, okay, upon hizbiyah, upon many crazy things. Because they grow up upon that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open your heart to salafiyah, to the sunnah. So you have to be patient. When you go and talk to them, they're going to talk to you. They're going to, you bring us that stuff. You masjid tawheed, arrogant people. As some people, they tell me, they go to work, and they start warning, they say, don't talk to him, he's from Masjid Tawheed. So you have to be patient. What are you going to do, fight them? You give them only one reason to support what they are upon. Now you don't fight, you be patient. You endure with the akhlaq, with patience. Don't fight. Fight your desires. Because shaitan is going to come to you and say, you be patient. Look what they say to you, what they say about you. Now you have a fight in you now. You want to fight your desires. And what's going to help you if you understand why you're doing this? What are you doing? Are you doing it for you? If you're doing it for you, go ahead and fight. But if you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then now those who did it for Allah, truly, the prophets and the messengers, they went through worse than what you're going through. And you say, subhanAllah, look, if the Prophet ﷺ went through that, according to Allah, so subhanAllah, ain't nobody broke my teeth yet, and may Allah protect us.
I mean,
but now just because the people look at you in one way, who said one word, now you want to fight, you switch the channel? No, stick to the same channel. Stick to the da'wah of al-anbiya. That's why you want to read the books of the ulama, like for example, the book of our beloved Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, Manhaj al-Anbiya fi al-Da'wah ila Allah. The methodology of the prophets in calling to Allah. It is translated in English. Very important book. It will teach us. The first thing you want to do before you open your mouth, call anybody to Islam if he's not Muslims, or to the Sunnah if they are upon Bid'ah, or to the way of the Salaf, if they are upon some other manahij, Hizbiyya, Ikhwan, Tabligh, or whatever. Before you do that, you need to sit with yourself. Talk to yourself first. You want to talk to somebody, you got to talk to yourself first. Have a little conversation with yourself. Okay, I'm going to call these people to Islam. I'm going to call these people to Salafiyya. I'm going to call these people who are upon Bid'ah to the Sunnah. Why am I doing this? Ask yourself these questions. Why am I doing this? If you're doing it for Allah, then you got to say, Alhamdulillah, then there is only one way I have to do it. The way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because he did it for Allah. But if we're just doing it because we want more people in this masjid or the other, we want to recruit people now. Nah, it's not how we do it. That's what the Hizbiyun do it. They go and talk bad about this imam and the other one and this one, so that people come to them. Because they care about numbers. We don't care about numbers. We care about one thing, doing it the right way. And the only way is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you know this thing, know you're prepared. So you're prepared that you're going to them, not everybody is going to be happy with you. Not everybody is going to show you a smile, face. Now some people are going to yell at you. Some people are going to push you around. And the ulama, this happened to them. The prophets happened to them. Some of the ulama, they won't give da'wah on tawheed, they were beaten up, man. Yeah, they beat them up. Someone were killed for that. And you just, somebody look at you funny, you want to fight, you start your class, you want to fight. Oh, you looking at me? Oh, yeah. Akhi, you finish the class? I know class, let me deal with this guy. Deal with what? Akhi, you give da'wah. Continue to give the da'wah. And why? Because you're the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lastly, number 5, النهي عن اليأس من رحمة الله ولو فعل الإنسان ما فعل من المعاصي التي دون الشرك الله أكبر. Never give up hope. Never despair. Now you're talking to somebody. Giving him da'wah. Never give up hope. Never come to that conclusion. He never gonna have it. He never gonna listen. La. You may say, yes, mashallah, this person gave me some hardship. Yes, he's stubborn. I wish if he make my job a little bit easier. But it's not up to you. But you don't come to conclusion and say, man, he's done. Now, any person, he never gonna accept Islam. That brother, he never gonna be Salafi. A'udhu billah, mubtadi. La. You never know. It's only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the story of Sufyan, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. We say Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, we don't. Yes, radiallahu anhu. But this is a man, he rallies the tribes and against the Prophet for years. Alhamdulillah. Others who rally and they were with him, they die upon shirk. But him, Allah wants something else for him. And now we say Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. We learn from these stories, Ikhwan, Now you're talking to your father, your grandfather, your mother, your brother, your sister in Islam. Some of us, their sons, he accepts Islam, but their sons are non-Muslims. SubhanAllah. Their daughters are non-Muslims. Naam, this is a reality. And what you do now? Now you continue to give him da'wah. Learn how to give the proper da'wah. And do it for Allah, sincerely, not for something else. And then inshallah, it's up to Allah alone. Nobody else. Then you're going to come to the imam with the message and say, listen, I got $10,000 for you if you give my son shahada. Okay, what kind of da'wah is this? Well, that imam who know, he may go to that brother and say, hey, listen, you want to make $2,000? Yeah. Just come in front of your father and say, shahadu la ilaha illallah, right? So he gave him $2,000 and he get keep $8,000 for himself. You know what I'm saying? Is this his da'wah now? This is not da'wah. You don't bribe people. No, that person that you see have interest in Islam, you take care of them. Buy them gifts. Invite them for food. Be nice to them. Na'am. And then they were like, why you do this? From Islam. Teachings of Islam. Are you the one to bribe me? Listen, man, you become a Muslim, you don't become Muslim. That's for you. I'm not going to benefit anything. If you become Muslim, it's only for your good benefit. If you're not Muslim, you don't want to have to deal with it. You think if you're going to become Muslim, something's going to happen to me? It's up to you. Well, so why you're giving me gifts? This is Islam. This is what Islam teaches, to give gifts to one another. Now, alhamdulillah, that person may become Muslim. So now, it is forbidden to give up hope. It's forbidden to give up hope. And never ever make that mistake and say that some person never become Muslim, or some person never have it, some person never be here. No. Likewise, somebody, mashallah, struggling with the salat. They say they Muslims and this, they fast Ramadan. But then they don't want to come to the masjid. Continue to give them da'wah. And inshallah, one day, that day when it comes, Allah knows. It could be tomorrow, it could be after 10 years from now. It could be after your death. You may die and then your mother to accept shahada. Allahu Akbar. Oh, yes, it happened. Sometimes the people, a person, yes, I know, brothers tell me, they, subhanAllah, they've been giving da'wah to their parents for years. But then that brother moved to another state and then shortly, his mother called him and says, I'm a Muslim son. Now, why, mother? Well, I met this nice person who helped me in the parking lot. And I said, why you did this? Because Islam? Okay, I want to be Muslim too. Now, that brother, her son, is he going to be happy? Or is he going to say, why you took shahada, mother, from some stranger? I've been calling you and putting money on you and helping you with the rent, and you don't take shahada from me? Is this how you're going to act? Yeah, that's a problem. Man, he's going to be happy. Like, alhamdulillah, I've been giving da'wah to my mother. Allah was my rewards with Allah. Who's going to give her shahada? And now that's not up to me. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the Shaykh says, never give up on those people who have ma'asi. It is less than shirk. Continue to talk to them. Continue to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge.
Amen.
From his book and the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the understanding of as-salaf as-salih. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to themselves, not to this party or the other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ikhlas in everything we say and everything we do. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimin kathira.